this last Sunday in November offers some interesting perspectives. Quite obviously, we are gearing up to celebrate Thanksgiving Day, America's favorite holiday. And for some of us, the next few days will be focused on preparations for Thursday, which actually may come as a welcome diversion from the turmoil and tumult of our national political scene. Who knows? This year, we might even discover the fun in our dysfunctional families. Any distraction, football or feasting, shopping or movies, offers welcome relief. Yet in these shorter, busier days of late November, the deep significance of this particular Sunday may be easily missed. Today is the final Sunday of the church year. Next Sunday is Advent and the beginning of a new year. The theme of this Sunday is the sovereignty of our Lord Jesus Christ. It stands as a kind of exclamation point at the year's end. Jesus Christ is the ruler of the universe. As the Ancestry.com commercials state, every family has a history, and so it is with the church family and the manner in which we Christians keep time. Christ the King Sunday is one of the newer festivals in the calendar, a mere child in relation to the millennia-old celebrations like Easter. It was less than 100 years ago that the Feast of Christ the King was instituted by Pope Pius XI. It grew out of a time of immense political turmoil as a response to the growing nationalism and secularism of the time. Its intent was as a reminder to Christians reeling from the aftermath of the First World War that the central theme of Jesus' teaching and preaching was the kingdom of God. And its attributes are justice, love, and peace. This commemoration is now widely observed, not just by Roman Catholics, but also among Anglicans and many Protestant denominations. On this feast day, we honor one who comes among us with a very odd kind of kingship. Jesus Christ is a new kind of king, bringing in a new kind of world order. So, as one of my teachers put it every year at this time, we are using the wrong word to say the right thing. Old words are caused to speak the new. What do our readings for this Sunday have to say about kingship? In the first reading, Jeremiah is speaking about the leaders and rulers of the people, and he refers to them as shepherds, the ancient image for the king. Jeremiah has firsthand knowledge of what it is to live through the failure of kings and kingdoms. In the name of God, he denounces the leaders who harm and separate the people rather than care for them and bring them together. The warning is for the powerful whose policies have brought the people to defeat and exile. Yet evildoers will not have the last word. God promises a king who rules wisely with justice and righteousness. God will be this shepherd king. And in this righteous ruler, Christians see Jesus, our shepherd king. Jesus Christ, who chooses to rule as the good and faithful shepherd. The psalm appointed for this morning invites us to deep reflection on God as our refuge and strength. In a time of turmoil and chaos, we place our ultimate trust, not in finite things, a robust economy and military might, but in the Lord of hosts who is with us, the God of Jacob who is our stronghold. A psalm that Martin Luther took and paraphrased as a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. We do well in these tumultuous days to heed the psalmist's injunction to be still, to calm down, to cease striving, and to know that God is God, exalted among the nations, exalted in the earth, and incredibly exalted on a cross. How odd it is to hear the Passion story read in November. We don't expect it. How ironic to behold Christ crucified and yet to call him king. This flies in the face of how we want to think of kingship and royalty. And a further irony is that Christ as king is unwittingly affirmed by those who do not believe in him, by those who jeer and mock and scoff at him. The Romans put that inscription over his head, "This is the King of the Jews." Its intent was as an act of public shaming, for humiliation is one way the power of empire responds to the challenge of alternative power. The only power Jesus exercises on the cross is that of profound mercy. And think of it, his entire life has been marked by showing mercy. Here at the end of his life, it is no different. Jesus notices, really notices, the criminal beside him. And in this criminal, Jesus notices all the marginalized people, the throwaway people of that time and every time. The criminal turns to Jesus and says, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." With these words, he enters into a relationship with Jesus who assures him, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." At what is truly a dead end, Jesus gives him a hope and a future. And so on this day, we can also call Jesus the King of the Second Chance. It is on Calvary that the kingship of Jesus Christ is most evident. Here is revealed the fullness of God's love and the depth of God's mercy. Here we see the power of love and not the love of power. Jesus Christ is a king, but not as this world chooses to define it. It was not because he healed people and ministered to their needs that he was crucified. It was because his message was considered dangerous by those in power. Christian spirituality is rooted in the mystery of the cross, in the saving significance of Jesus's life, death, and resurrection. And this point is well expressed in the Christian hymn, an early Christian hymn, which is preserved in our reading from Colossians. That hymn celebrates Jesus as the wisdom of God, the first in the orders of creation and redemption, and as the one who has reconciled all things to God by the blood of his cross. And the introduction to this hymn summons us to give thanks to God because God has transferred us from darkness to light, and so to the kingdom of his beloved Son. While the powers of darkness may, in part, shape the structures of the world in which we presently live, it is the cross alone that determines the shape of human existence. In today's readings, the reign of God is not just a pipe dream for the future. Shepherding, justice, reconciliation, peace, mercy, and hope are things to be experienced in this life, not just in the life to come. So on this last Sunday of the church year, let us pledge allegiance to the reign of Christ in every aspect of our lives, knowing that the greatest praise we can offer is to imitate his example, to see as Jesus sees, to love what he loves, and to act as he acts.